on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1 with Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora, g'day and good evening. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show right here on Pulse 1 and taking a look at all things rugby league from around the world. Tonight in the studio, we have the dream team, the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, is in the house. Give us a yip, yip, Leon.
Yo, 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 yo.
And alongside him is the little General Luke Robinson. He's in the house as well. Just say, hello.
Hello.
On tonight's show, we're giving away a family pass. That's two adults and up to four kids to this weekend's match up at the Providence Stadium where Bradford Bulls take on full-time opponents Sheffield Eagles. Loads going on up at the stadium, including a live band, massive food collection and special drink prices for everyone to enjoy in the Providence Marquee, opening at 1 p.m. Now, to win this great prize, answer this question. Name the former home stadium of the Sheffield Eagles where the Bradford Bulls won their first ever Super League title way back in 1997. Now you can email your answers to pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or just tweet us at Pulse One Radio. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Man, I nearly ran out of breath then.
Did well then, Robbie.
I was just going for it,
quite,
wasn't I?
Quite impressed then.
Did that impress you?
Yeah, I did well then.
I impressed myself. How's your weekend been, boys?
Mine's been quite monotonous, really. I've not really had one. But to say it was Easter weekend and everybody were having fun and most people had Thursday to Monday off, I've just been in all weekend working.
Why?
Because we were in. We trained Thursday, played Friday, in Saturday, trained Sunday, played Monday, in Tuesday.
Yeah, but you're kind of making out like you were part of that plane and you were a bystander.
No. I'm not saying I was playing, Robert. I'm just saying I still had to travel on motorway and go in. And
it's a hard life, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, you got guys out there working from, 6 o'clock in the morning on.
Come on, man.
On
give me some merch. Just like, come on a little bit, Carter.
I was really looking forward to it because obviously as a player, everyone loves Easter, but we kind of feel like, I'm with Leon, you're like, another game, can't go out, can't do. So I've been really looking forward to it, but unfortunately for me, somewhere out, I've had my hip done, and my wife left me and went on a hen do to Portugal.
So I've got
a metal hip. I've got a metal hip and three kids to look after, so I'll be honest, I've been quite busy.
Yeah, weekend, that
at least my dad's been busy with me, mom, they've been straight.
It's the first time, both your wives have had yous at home, isn't it? Because neither of yous played.
Yeah. But yeah, like I say, she's in Portugal on a Hindu, so she still decided to leave me.
She does right. Hey, this week we celebrate the 20-year anniversary of our summer game in rugby league.
It's cool,
That's
man.
A long time, isn't it?
It's a good time.
How old were you guys back in 1996? How old were you guys?
96, I would have been,
20 years
15,
ago.
Something like that. 14.
You're 34 now,
14.
20 years ago. Robbo, what about you?
11. No. Just starting school.
I'm feeling so old.
Jake wasn't even born.
Yeah, go away, Jake. Shut up. Be quiet, Jake.
I remember it all, though, Rob. I was a proper fan back then. That's when I were. When Super League just went to summer, that's when I were a proper rugby league nerd.
Weren't you a ball boy up at the club?
I was, yeah. But that were in Winter League.
Oh, that was before the summer league.
I've been going on them terraces when it were cold, wet, windy.
But you made your debut in 1997 as well.
98.
Was it 98?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. God.
Long time ago,
innit? It only seems like yesterday.
It does for me.
I think I was about 13. So that makes me 33 now, yeah. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, you're about 13.
Hey, actually, you've got to give it some thought because when you think about it, we've played, 8 or 9 games already?
Yeah.
And this was the starting week 20 years ago. Actually, it was a summer sport then. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Actually, maybe we should return it back to being, actually a summer sport because doesn't it feel like to you, especially when you're doing pre-season, that it's still a very winter sport?
Well, the first month is always a winter game anyway, really. And we kind of start in winter and finish in winter, don't we, in October. So really, and truly, like the biggest games at the end of the year are always played in winter conditions anyway, aren't they?
I think they are, and I think that's why Leeds have been so successful.
Massively.
Obviously, they've had good players, but I mean, let's be fair, Sinfield were monotonous in what he did. He just put the ball in the corner over and over again with his kicking game. That's what wins you games.
That's what wins you games
at the beginning of the year, and it what wins you at the end. And, Warrington went through a stage a few years ago. They played really expansive, good rugby, but they only seemed to peak. And I think that's why they did so well in Challenge Cup. When it was dry and nice weather, they played really well.
That was the same for us at Saints, sir, Robbo. I mean, throughout the years, and I'll always, give Leeds full credit for what they've done, but we'd usually regularly beat them in the season, yep. playing expansive, open, nice football in the sun. Comes to grand final, it's raining in October, it's raining, it's wet, it's horrible. And usually we'd get out dogged, really, in like a bit of a dogfight. And like I say, Sinfield's kicking really won them the game half of the time. And so you go from winter, summer, where you play nice, expansive rugby, and then you go to winter and you've got to change. But then again, the best teams to adapt, don't they?
Yeah, and they do, and I think that's one of the things about Kevin Sinfield, that he had the ability to turn teams around all the time. What I thought Leeds were always very good at is that they could put their noses in front, and I like to call it they push down on your throat. You know, you put the foot on your throat and they push down just a little bit. And teams that do play the expansive games, the Warringtons, the St. Helens of this world, they try to play catch-up rugby, and catch-up rugby is expensive. And like, you're right, in the conditions where it's wetter, where it's the ball's a little more slippery, it takes its toll. Errors start to occur, don't they?
Yeah, it does. That's why I think it's the two different cup competitions. The Challenge Cup, fair weather teams, whoever plays well in that will generally win that. Whoever plays better in these conditions will win the grand final at the end of the year, because that's what it's about. It's like Leon says, it's about just not playing boring, but basically playing percentages later on in the year.
20 years of Super League, how have you seen it grow? Do you think that you've seen the progression of the sport? The governing body, the Chief Executive Officer, Nigel Woods, coming out, he said he absolutely loves where the sport's gone. He actually stating also that we're a lot closer than people realise towards the NRL. Maybe the World Club Series would argue against that. But where do you guys see the Super League has gone in the last 20 years?
I think the Super League were making great strides. It felt like we were developing each and every year. But I'll be honest, I don't know if I'm retired now, but I just feel like these last couple of years it started to decline, and I'm not having a pop at everybody. I just think that I don't want to get into the old salary cap debacle again, but when we're losing our best talent, you know, the likes of all the Burgess boys, James Graham, you know, Hodgson, all them Whitehead would all be playing in the Super League 6 years ago. So I don't understand how it can be improved, how it can be making stride. You know, obviously the exchange rate were different, so basically the better Australians or Antipodeans were coming this way, like yourself, Rob. So I don't know, for me, I think we was going an upward spiral, but these last few years, I think we need to do something to...
Mate, I never came for the money. I came for the people, for the water,
you
for
drove
the
in
love.
A Bentley. You drove in a Bentley first.
Leon, what about your thoughts on the Super League? Well, you've been there nearly from the beginning. Interestingly, you are only one of five players that have played over 400 Super League matches.
Keep talking to me, Rob.
That's just lovely, isn't it? You've played forever.
My head's getting bigger and bigger, if it were possible.
You know, are you thinking, geez, I'd like to get to that 500. How many years you got left in you?
I could probably get there if I wanted. No, but they're only numbers, aren't they? I mean, you've got to enjoy the game. And Scott, coming back to your question, Robert, I've been there, and I'm speaking from more of a Bradford fan. I saw the Bradford Bulls rise from having three or four thousand fans to make, you know, to getting. I was playing that night when we got 24,000 against Leeds in a packed Dunsell Stadium. And now, you know, sometimes I'd just like to see them nights replicated again. And I think, you know, some of our best years are maybe behind us in Super League. In my opinion, most exciting nights have been down the years that have passed already. And I'd like to see us get back to that at some point. I don't know if we're playing too many games. I don't know if the system works. And this is not to be negative, it's just my truthful opinion.
Mate, insane about talking about those games between Leeds and Bradford and those exciting times. You guys come away from a very exciting Friday fixture against Hull KR. What a comeback.
Brilliant, absolutely amazing. I was sat in the stands doing the radio with Clarkie, the guy from Hull, and I was sat there at halftime. I was looking down at Radders and I was thinking, oh my word, I feel so sorry for you. You're like 20-0, and I think then after about 25 minutes ago, it was 20-0, thinking, oh, we can't. This is the world's most intense derby, and then we scored. We scored again, and then we scored, and everybody were going berserk. It went mental.
It was brilliant. The close-ups on Lee Radford, just seeing the relief, the joy, and the sheer relief run across his face.
Yeah, you got to remember as well, it's, you know, obviously Radders lives in Hull, and it's like a fishbowl. the intense pressure, the heat, everything's about rugby. They have 4 or 5 pages on the back of their newspaper, all involved in rugby and all on rugby. So it's an intense atmosphere on there.
All right, thanks, boys. We've got loads to talk through this evening. After the break, we'll be discussing the possible introduction of Liverpool's Anfield Stadium ground as a venue for the Four Nations final. We'll also be talking about what happened at Huddersfield Giants, John Smith Stadium, when they took on Salford. That's made all the national papers. All that and more coming up after the break on the RHP Show.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Hey, 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 West Yorkshire, RHP here, and we're talking rugby league every Wednesday evening right here on Pulse 1. Now, on tonight's show, we're giving away a family pass to this weekend's matchup at the Providence Stadium where the Bulls take on full-time Sheffield Eagles. Loads going on up at the stadium, live music, great food selection and special drink prices for everyone to enjoy in the Providence Marquee. Now, to win this great prize, name the former home stadium of the Sheffield Eagles where the Bradford Bulls won their first ever Super League title way back in 1997. Email your answers to www.pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or just tweet us at Pulse One Radio. Now, I'm going to come over to you, Robbo. We briefly spoke about Leon's team and Good Friday and how they did so well, but what is going on at Huddersfield? Now, I'm not talking about Huddersfield's performance, but I'm actually talking about Salford kicking off with their own fans. I got to admit, this is one of the things that that kind of annoys me. It gets on my nerves. And before you go into what happened, it's just the Nationals only seem to play their part when something goes wrong in the sport. And I'm saying the Nationals, I mean the national newspapers.
Did you see my tweet, Robbo? That's exactly what I said. Exactly what you just said. I put that on a tweet the other night. It's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, when the game is so fantastic and yet the only time I'm going to get national coverage is when something goes wrong. But what happened, Robbo? You were there.
Oh, well, my dad were even closer, to be fair.
Was it your dad causing the problem?
I think he was in the middle of it. No, to be fair, you know, I went too far away myself. I just saw all the players were not good. All the Salford players go up to the bottom corner. And if I'm being honest, they were sort of a little bit of a chunk, just not actually sat with all the rest of the Salford supporters. It was just a little bit away that were kind of causing a little bit of bother and being a little bit loud all day. And by all accounts, I think they just got a little bit rowdy. Started being a little bit, I don't know if they were sort of scrapping or what were going on, and the stewards got involved, but I think the gist of it basically was that a lot of the Salford families were sat in that corner. So as these drunken blokes started getting pushing down towards the stewards and everybody else, they basically got the family wrapped up in it. A lot of the kids were getting pushed, and I think Carney went over, and by all accounts my dad said that he saw Carney and Sal go running over, obviously seeing his family, which, to be fair, if your family's there with your kids...
Under distress,
they're shouting for help.
Yeah. You're straight over.
Yeah, you're going over there. And I think by all accounts, my dad said he saw Carney go over, give one of them, I think give one or two of them a bit of an hiding to get him off the kid, if I'm being honest. And then Sal obviously jumped on, the pictures are all in the press of him pinning a bloke down. But, you know, from a player's perspective, I don't care what job you do, what profession you're in, if you see your family under distress like that, they're calling out for help. You're going over there and you're getting them out of harm's way, aren't you? So,
but by all accounts, Rob, I don't think the players have taken any stick for it, have they?
No.
There's been no bad coverage from the players. Everybody's understood what's been needed to do.
And to be fair, from the fans, from the media, from everybody, just seems to say that they're on the players' side, and fair enough. But you know, look, I played at Salford. They're very, very, very vocal fans, and they were, you know, they love you when you're playing for them, they hate you when you're not. But they're generally not, they're not like that. You know, the sort of core group of them are the Forever Reds. They seem to think they were a bit of a stag do party that were causing trouble in a pub across the road prior to the game, and it shouldn't be a reflection on them. But obviously, if they're in that away end, come from Salford, there's going to be a little bit of repercussions towards the Salford team.
Well, Salford has put out an official apology, commenting that the perpetrators will be identified and dealt with. And Mr. Kukash himself has said those fans whom were at fault will never watch rugby league again, and he wants a lifetime ban held against them, those that were at fault. And I think that's a strong statement from the chairman of Salford.
I think it's a fair statement too. And anybody that's involved in rugby league, we all know that it's a family game. We pride ourselves being on a family game. And within the game, we know that they're not proper rugby league fans, because that's not what happens when you go to a rugby game.
No.
That's why it never happens. Well, it's very rare that it does. Obviously, it has. Mm-hmm. So kick them out of the game, get them away from our stadiums, because that's not what our game's about. And I say the sooner the better, get them out and don't let them watch the game again.
I like it, I like it. But Robert, we've got to go back to Huddersfield, so let's talk about their form at the moment, just struggling to get it together at this point in time.
Yeah, we're rubbish. Could brush it up if I wanted to, but let's be fair, we're rubbish. No, we're just, I know, I've been in this situation before. I've played in extremely good sides, I've played in extremely bad sides, and sometimes, you know, when your confidence gets, it's a major thing in sport is confidence, and we just don't seem to have had that confidence. I don't think we've ever really recovered from losing a lad called Luke Robinson.
yes.
Turned to Leon then, aren't I?
A little general.
Sing it, sing
a little
it.
General.
No, but, you know, we kind of, not only myself, but obviously Brett Ferris, you know, all that went on early on in the year. And then we lost sort of six or seven players, senior players last year. You know, Jack Hughes, Cop Jack, Lunte.
It's a lot of players.
Chris Bailey, Jody Broughton.
It's a lot of players.
And you've had horrendous injuries on top of
and
it.
And then coupled that with the injury sort of crisis that we had early on, it didn't help things. But I think what happens in sport is confidence is a major thing. So what that, when we lost them players, but coupled with the injuries that we had, then that, we just didn't get off to a good start. And you can just see this confidence being edged away. And the only way out of it, I've been in this situation before, the only way out of it is you've got to stick together and work 100 mile an hour and work really hard up for each other, but it's just not happening at the moment for us.
I've been having this debate. Can I ask this question now, Robbo? Like, we say that we've lost, they lost you, they lost Bailey, lost Copjack, lost Ferris, blah, 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 and the same things happen with Leeds. They've lost Luluai, lost Sinfield, lost JP, and whoever else. So is it a part about recruiting? Is it their fault, for the team's fault for not recruiting properly? Or does it take time to rebuild after losing so many players? Just a debate. I'm not saying
no.
You know,
I personally think it's a bit of both. You know, obviously from a club's perspective, you've got to recruit and you've got to fill the voids that are going to be left. And I think, you know, coaches talk about it, and actually clubs talk about it. It's not, you don't just find out someone's going to be. You know, obviously a little bit different with myself because it would just come instantaneously. No
same
one knew
with Brett.
It was
same
happen.
With Brett. Quick.
Same with Brett. You know us two. And we can, let's be fair. You know, I don't want to be the statesman, but we were kind of older states from the team.
Well,
so
you were the experienced players.
Yeah, we're both vice captains. So to lose us both at the same time without knowing, as obviously we're pretty hard for the club to take. But the other ones, yeah, you know, I don't know. We've obviously brought Ryan Inchcliffe in, Rapira in. Yeah. We're expecting big things, but obviously they've been good players. Them two, for us, to be fair.
But the funny thing is that it still doesn't change a thing. You're still good players. Still good players. It's a confidence thing now.
Isn't
so it? Now I just got to turn it around. You've got to put your head down, work a little bit harder, and just start getting through it until the wheel starts to turn a bit. And it can turn. It can easily turn when you have the level of talent in both the Leeds Rhinos and the Huddersfield Giants.
You know that. I know that. Leon knows it because we've played the game for a long time. The problem for what we've probably lost is we lost a lot of old heads.
Yeah.
So me and Brett.
So that's your worry.
My worry is that me and Brett have probably been through that before. Chris Bailey has had NRL experience, a lot of experience. It wasn't just the players we lost. It were actually not on the field, but actually off the field. Because mm-hmm. I'd be telling them, this will turn, like you said then. But when a lot of these players are young, we've had to blood a lot of young players through at the same time. They don't have that experience. They don't know it's going to change. And that's my only worry. But, you know, fingers crossed, like you said, we're a talented side. We should be able to turn it around.
Well, time will tell. And like you did say, yes, you are a talented side. Now, I want to look forward to the end of the season, right at the end of the season, beyond the Super League, beyond the Championship, and right to the International, because it's highly likely that Liverpool's Anfield will host the 2016 Four Nations Final. That's sort of been thrown up at the moment. Leon, you've got a bit of a scowl on your face. Give us your thoughts on that one.
Why are we going to go to the home of football to put our greatest contest on a... Why?
I've got to admit,
Liverpool's never seen a game of rugby before, ever. He's got no interest in rugby. Let us showcase our game on the biggest stage, on the best stadium. And I don't think Liverpool's stadium is even that good, is it really? Why are you going to Etihad? Etihad's a wicked stadium. And Manchester's, you know, it's got a bit of rugby around it. But look, you know, look, I know something.
I've got to admit,
I'll put
my hand up because I'm part of the delivery team for the TV. It's not my decision,
and it's a small
field.
But
we were discussing it last week, and we were discussing, and I got to admit, Brian Noble's part of that delivery team for the television network as well. And I've sort of leaned over to Brian, and I've said, Brian, mate. Where's Anfield? I didn't know. And Nobby got up and he said, whoa, 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 whoa. Robbie doesn't know where Anfield is. But I've got to admit, look, I didn't. And I thought it was in London somewhere. So I'm a little bit... Robert, what are your thoughts on playing a game at, as Leon stated, the home of football?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, we've got the greatest game in the world. And we want to progress it. We want to expand it, really. I'm not sure whether the expansion is going down to Gloucester or down to London. So I do understand that, you know, maybe the RFL are trying to expand the game, but are doing it on a... rather than taking it 150,000 miles away, you know, wherever it is, they're just doing it 50 miles away. So I don't know, but I'm willing on a little bit. You know, it's with the biggest games, you'd like to think that we're going to really sort of sell it out in the
It's only 40,000. It's only 40,000 seat stadium, which surely we can make it bigger than that, can't we, for a final?
It's just over 40,000.
Is it? Yeah. I don't know. That's only my opinion.
It's going to be a New Zealand and England final anyway, isn't it?
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, you could look at Old Trafford holds up to what, 75,000?
80.
Yeah, easy, yeah. So, we'll have to see how the pre-ticket sales, if they do, in the end, agree on that. All right, thank you, lads. After the break, we'll hear from Leeds Rhinos legend Kevin Sinfield on his new autobiography. And we actually have a signed copy to give away, and we'll let you know how you can get a hold of it. All this up next after the break on the RHP Show.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Hello, RHP here, and I'm live with the Earl and the General of Rugby League. And on tonight's show, we're giving away our family pass to this weekend's matchup at the Providence Stadium, where the Bulls will take on the Sheffield Eagles. To win, answer this question: name the former home stadium of the Sheffield Eagles, where the Bradford Bulls won their first ever Super League title right back in 1997. You can email the answer to pulse1.co.uk/RHP show, or you can tweet us at pulse1radio. Now, earlier today, producer Ewan caught up with Leeds Rhinos legend Kevin Sinfield on his new autobiography and the new chapter in his life.
So, Kevin Sinfield, thanks for joining us on the RHP Show. First and foremost, are you releasing a book this week? I just wondered what's inspired you to write it at this stage of your life.
To be completely honest, I got pestered over the last 5 or 6 years to do an autobiography. And I have to say, it was something I didn't really fancy doing. One, because I'm quite a private person. And I think if you're going to do an autobiography, it has to be the complete, honest truth. And secondly, there's stuff in the dressing room that I think deserves to stay in the dressing room. So I got offered this, and it's a completely different type of book. It's a picture book. And I thought it was a really good thing to do. And I think the thing that swayed my decision in the end was the fact that I knew it ended in October with the treble win and the grand final win at Old Trafford. So it's been a really, really enjoyable thing to do.
And looking back at your league career, is there one moment that sort of stands out when you look back?
I have to say there'd be two. I know I'm being greedy there, but...
That's okay, I'll let you have two.
Yeah, okay. probably the most recent... winning the grand final at Old Trafford in the final game, which meant we completed the treble, was just an unbelievable way for my rugby league career to end. Just feel so fortunate that I got the opportunity to end that way. And I think the other one would be, we go back to 2012, when it was a couple of days where we won the grand final, having come from fifth and beat Warrington, given that they beat us in the Challenge Cup final sort of 6 weeks earlier, and then a couple of days after I got named England captain. So sort of both of those were really, really special moments.
And you're well into your union career now, so how's it going at the Carnegie at the moment?
Yeah, it's going alright. I'm getting better and learning more every single day, so I'm making mistakes, as you'd expect somebody who's only played 13 or 14 rugby union games in his whole life. And
yeah.
But I'm enjoying it. The lads have been absolutely brilliant, and I've really enjoyed it. So we're at the business end of the season now, where playoffs and the last couple of league games where you're jockeying for position, and then we've got a cup final a week on Sunday. So real exciting times coming up.
And with all the rugby league over the Easter period, does it make you miss it?
Yeah, very much so. I've said it a few times, now I miss rugby league for the rest of my life. I've played the game since we were seven, and all my mates are still pretty much at the Rhinos as well. You know, a lot of lads have grown up with us are still there, so I will miss it. And but I have to say as well, I played rugby union. Now, when I finally retire, I think I'll miss playing rugby union as well. I think I've got some good friends there now, and I think it'd be a sad day when I have to hang up the boots, and I'll miss both codes of rugby, and some of the memories I've had have been brilliant, so I feel very fortunate.
And just on a final note, we've got Robbie, Luke Robinson and Leon Price in the studio. Just wondering, what are your memories of playing against those three?
Well, just all three, very, very talented. You know, I was fortunate enough to play alongside Leon as well with some representative stuff.
Yeah.
If we go right back to sort of 97, we played England Schoolboys together, and since then, we were able to play for Great Britain and England together, so just an unbelievable talent. Had a great career as well, and then had some brilliant battles against Robbie over the years, you know, them great Leeds Bradford derbies, yeah. Sort of in the mid-2000s were absolutely brilliant, and playing in front of packed houses at both Headingley and Oddsall were brilliant. And I think the sooner we can get Bradford back in Super League and have a strong Bradford again, I think it'd be great for that Leeds Bradford area to have them derbies really strong again. And then obviously Luke Robinson, it was sad to see him finish the way he did, but he'd had a fantastic career and always a thorn in our side when we played against Huddersfield. So tough for somebody to be that small but be so dedicated and so committed to the physical side of the game, you know, be a very, very skillful player, but his size never got in his way, and another one who had a fantastic career. So you've got three greats on that radio show, and you're very lucky.
I got to say this, I'm nearly in tears. He's got me.
Keep talking, Kev, keep talking. We feel fantastic in here as well, mate. Boys, let's go for a beer. Come on, lads, let's just leave it. Go for a beer. Finished. We feel so good now, Kev. Cheers,
Kev.
Tell you
what, we should have ended on that piece. I love it. Now, if you want to win a signed copy of Kevin Sinfield's autobiography, just hit the win section of the website at pulse1.co.uk. Leon, he's written a book for you anyway. It's a picture book, a colouring in book.
I wonder if it's got that picture of me cleaning him out at Malacca off the ball.
I remember that.
£500 four match fine.
With the four matches you were gutting about, or the £500?
Well, I were on £500 a game as well, so about £2,500 it cost me.
So he's talking about them being teammates as well, isn't he? My gosh.
No, I really regret that, actually. It was one thing I really regret in my career.
You've stated that before in the past, you know. You've
I apologise, you know, last game.
Yeah, you said that. You've stated that before. You had a couple of, red miss moments.
Yeah, really bad.
Who hasn't had a red miss
moment?
I know,
but like, young, you just crucify
yourself.
Yours
just was televised.
Yeah, I know, but on BBC, there's only 10 million people watching it, Leon. Well done, Leon.
Great work. Hey, you guys, let's talk about autobiographies. You know, what makes a great autobiography? You know, Kevin there, he's pointing out some of the stuff in the changing room shouldn't go beyond the changing room. I think we all agree with that. What makes a good autobiography?
Let's be honest now, like we're saying off air. Kevin Sinfield's autobiography won't be that funny or outrageous, because to be as dedicated and professional as he has for over the last 20 years of his career, he has had to sacrifice a lot of fun.
Which we're all jealous of.
So like people like Ronaldo, Messi, and people like they make sacrifices that not everybody else makes. So the most of them won't drink, won't do smoking, won't do socialising. But the end of it is a career that most people look up to and think, this guy's amazing.
He's trying to paint the picture there where he smoked, drinking, and socialised.
But at the same time, you could read somebody's autobiography like Longis, who's absolutely mental, but he's still one of the best. And it'll be two different books, I think. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, you've got to be careful, obviously. And I'm known in the change rooms as Jugular because I got a little bit cutthroat with my banter. But and the lads are always saying you should write a book. But I'm with you, Robbie. You know, the stuff that I've seen in the sport, and I just think sometimes it needs to be stated. It's the lads' rule, isn't it? Let's be fair. When you go in that changing rooms, what goes on tour stays on tour. You know what I mean? That's how it should be. If you want to write a really good biography, though, you know, you've got to expose someone.
So, come on. What type of autobiography would you guys write?
No, listen. We all know within rugby league, there is things that go on within rugby league that we will never tell anybody.
Yeah.
We know that. You know that, Robbie. Robbie, you know that. Don't sit there and ask me a stupid question.
I have no idea
so what
you're
do is
about.
We tell the stories that the public can hear.
Yeah.
But then there's stories that won't be told ever because the public can't hear them. But they're for us, they're for our memories.
Just teasing the public.
They're for us to talk about while we're out, sat around a pub having a pint. They're for us to talk about in our private time. But then we've got the stories that can be told to public that are not so offensive and not rude and not
You've
bad.
You've still not answered my question. What type of autobiography would you write? What we traditionally think as a Kevin Sinfield type of autobiography, where it's about focus and training, etc. Or would it be a Warts and All fly by the...
No. You can't be Watson and All. You can, I'll tell you as much as I want you to know. That's it. Simple. Not, don't ask me that question again, Robbie. I've answered it now three times.
You gave a kind of answer. I'm not sure you did answer the question properly. Now, Kevin stated this week that he's calling out to Rhinos fans to not to worry about the Rhinos form as they will return to form. And I think we were discussing that earlier this year. Now, their Kirkstall training facilities earlier this year with the terrible weather that we had in January flooded out. And I think that's had a big effect on their preparations. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it does have an impact on your preparations, you know, when you ain't got the training facilities and you're driving around, you know, from pillow to post. But if I'm being brutally honest, that won't be the main reason. No. You know, if Jamie Peacock were there still and Sinfield and Lulawai and all them players, I still think they'd be winning games, whether they had a training facility or they didn't have one. I think they were a club going through a transitional period. I think that's what happened. You know, I think Warrington did it a few years ago, and Tony Smith, it's took him a fair few years to actually come out of that transitional period. You know, losing the likes of Breers, Morley, Carville, and all them, and Brett Hodgson, all them senior blokes. You have to sort of remould your side and your squad, and I think that's what Leeds are going through. And I don't think the glory years are going to come instantaneously back. I think they're going to have to work it and mould and play
produce,
around.
Produce players like they have done in the past and like they have done over the years. I think Robbo's 100% right, and I think you can't expect a coach to win the treble one year and then the next year you want to sack him because he's lost a couple of games, losing the best, most influential captain of all time that they've ever had.
The guy who led them around the field.
They led him around the field. Then you got JP, who was one of the best players to ever play a game.
Who led by example.
Led by example. And then Lulawai, who was just an all dead and carried the ball.
A rock.
And knew what you were going to get out
the
of
fridge.
Him for 40 minutes a game. So you can't lose in players and not think it's going to have an effect, because it is, and it would do on any team in Super League in the world.
But to be sitting at the bottom of the table? I think that's a surprise.
Well, I'll be honest, I did not expect Huddersfield to be sat at the bottom with Leeds.
Yeah.
And do you know what that makes that bottom four? If the things don't change...
Dangerous.
That's going to be... It's going to be mad that the fact that... I don't know. For example, the Leeds Rhinos might be going to Sheffield or wherever.
Yeah, just squaring
I mean?
Up against them in the Super 8 qualifiers.
Or they're going up Mount Pleasant at the moment, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They're going to be running up that hill at Mount Pleasant thinking, what's going on this ground?
It won't happen, will it, surely?
You just never know, do you?
Leon's counting. I hope so. I'll have to see you straight in there. All right, coming up after the break, we'll be discussing more of the hottest matches of the weekend, and we'll also be... calling out the winner of the family pass to the Bradford Bulls versus Sheffield match. All that and more right here on the RHP show.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the RHP show. We're continuing on with our hottest topics in the world, and we'll also look forward to the hotter matches of the upcoming round. But before we do, let's find out who won the family pass for this weekend's match up at the Providence Stadium where the Bulls take on the Sheffield Eagles. The question was, name the former home stadium of the Sheffield Eagles where the Bradford Bulls won their first ever Super League title back in 1997. And Jay Key, who's been across the social media sphere for us this evening, has a winner. Jay Key, read it out.
Tonight's winner is Eddie Hoyle.
And Eddie Hoyle, what was the answer to the question?
The answer was Don Valley Stadium. He also said he can't forget the moment that Jeff Wittenberg slammed the ball down over the line.
That was a very happy moment for Jeff. That was one of the most scariest games I've ever played in, because we had to win that game to pick up the title. That was back in the days before it was the Super League playoffs. It was first past the post. I think we had gone through 20. I think that was the 20th Super League game undefeated.
Unbeaten. And then you lost at home against someone like... Who did you lose that week after when you
I think it was Halifax.
Halifax.
Good Halifax.
You've obviously, been drinking.
We didn't win another game. We lost the last three games.
Yeah.
And actually, no, we won the next game. That was Paris at home, because that's when they presented us with the trophy in front of the home crowd. But the next three games after that, we just lost.
Partying, drinking.
It was a good time. It's one of those moments that do not make the autobiography.
Exactly.
Okay, before we go forward and start looking at the games coming up this weekend, I just want to have a look. Two wins for Chris Chester's Wakey over the weekend. One of them being the Giants and the other one being Leeds Rhino.
Massive wins.
That's how you want to start your new career once again, isn't it?
I was just speaking to Gilly before I came on show and I said, what's he doing then? This Chester is, you know, he's obviously doing something right. He said, well, they're just giving boys a bit of confidence, aren't they? You know, he's coming, he's talking to her. And we've got a bit of an attacking structure, and he said it's going good. So I've done well. Massive results for Chesney, that.
And that's exactly what the club wanted, the players wanted, I guess.
You kind of feel that happens, don't you, when a coach is sacked. I mean, I've once made a point.
Well, he wasn't sacked. He stepped away, didn't
he? Well, stepped away. I once said, you know, well, if you were pushed then, if you're all pushed or stepped away or sacked, if you could do that once a week, you could pretty much go on the season unbeaten, I reckon. You need to sack a coach every week or push or walk away. Laughing.
I don't think that's a recipe for success.
Robert, could I ask you a question?
Go on.
What? How did Bulls get on this weekend?
Oh, we had a win against London Broncos on Thursday night, and then in the battle of the local derby between us and Halifax. Look at Robbo, he's beaming.
He's beaming.
He's absolutely beaming. We had Robbo up at the stadium as a VIP guest of honour in our conferencing and banqueting stand, and I did a little bit of a Q&A with Robbo. But I tell you what, jump ship straight away. He's down at Halifax doing the same thing down there.
Got a testimonial to flog.
I've heard Robbo were in Sheffield and Halifax sheds after the game. Doing team song and that.
He was down on the field with him. Being part of the coaching staff. Oh, what a weekend it was. But that was the Bulls' first loss of the season. So
wait, were at Halifax or Oddsall?
It was at Halifax.
Yeah.
Great atmosphere, tough game. You know, obviously, both teams playing with a short turnaround. A lot of energy lost in the last 20 minutes, in the legs. But, you know, both teams threw it all into it. But Halifax just had the opportunity to stay on top.
Standout players for Halifax? Standout players?
Oh, God, hey, Richie Moore changed things up. No. You know, former Bradford Bulls boy, Wakefield. He's been everywhere as Richie Moore.
He's one of my good mates.
And he's an angry man as well.
Oh, he's on field. He's not off.
He is. He's a nice bloke off the field.
He's a nice guy.
He beat me up, love you. We had a friendly at Halifax. I didn't know he was quite handy as well. So I kind of went running, you know, like where, you know, like someone, you know, a kid tries beating you up, so you just hold him with one hand. He was just holding me with one hand and pagging me with the other one.
He's a good lad, Richie, a good lad.
Oh, he is. So I thought he was a standout player, and their halves had some good game management as well. So, very enthusiastic with the Halifax team, so all credit to them. Tony, just before we go on to these matches, just want to say the rumour mill is kicked off again. Tony Smith is linked to Hull KR, as well as Danny Brough being linked to FC. So, you know, isn't it brilliant that when teams aren't playing well, the rumour mill goes into full swing? Mm. Or if someone's at the end of their contract, the rumour mill goes into full swing.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's great, isn't it? Danny Brough to FC just to make me feel great. Leon, you're getting a little bit long in tooth. Danny Brough's coming to replace you. All right, nice one. Cheers. Where did you hear it first? On the Pulse Radio Show. On the Heritage Beat Show. You beauty.
I don't think we've heard it here first. Just another quick couple of comments. Breaking news. Dan Sargentson seems like he's heading off to the Titans. We were talking about it early on in the show. Again, we're losing another one of our talented international players.
And
Josh Charnley, we're losing him to Rugby Union.
It's the same old story we're going to talk about. We can't offer him what other sports can offer, and I don't want to get myself in trouble, but that's
don't get
just,
yourself in trouble, Robbo.
There is a player drain, let's be fair. There's a player drain, isn't there? Am I the only one that sees it?
Robbo,
am I the only one?
The proof is in the pudding.
Yes.
You don't need to say, just let him keep doing it.
No.
You're not going to stop, is it?
Okay, let's look at the upcoming games this weekend because we've got a couple of crackers ahead of us. Looking at the championship, Bradford Bulls will take on one of the other. There's only four full-time professional teams in the championship. You've got Lee Centurions, you've got the London Broncos, you've got Sheffield Eagles, and you've got the Bradford Bulls. Bradford Bulls face off against Sheffield. Things haven't been going exactly to plan for both teams. An opportunity for them to both get back on the horse and start heading in the right direction. Where do you guys see this game? Remember, it's at the home of the Bulls.
Go on, mate.
I think after Easter, as we spoke previous, I think whoever's got the biggest squads now is going to come to the fore the next couple of weeks. So I don't know either squad, but if whoever's got the biggest squad, I think, is going to come out on top.
Obviously, I don't watch the game, so I don't really know. But form-wise, this is a game that the Bulls really need to win. It's at home. We've lost a couple. We've drawn to Batley. Yep. We lost to Halifax. This is a game they need to win, really. I'm not if the pressure's on, but I think it's a game at home against Sheffield who are going to be there and thereabouts end of season, so... The Bulls need to win this one, in my opinion.
I think with all things, teams go through their cycles. And I'm quite confident that the Bulls will come into this game in the right frame of mind and start kicking things on. I think we're optimistic that we're getting some bodies back fresh again. Another one of the teams, some of the starting lineup players have been out. Some of the more experienced pros are coming back into the team. So I think that's going to be a real benefit. The other match of the round, Featherstone versus Halifax, two of the best teams in the championship. Obviously, Halifax coming off the, quite a big win against the Bulls that they'll be feeling confident. I think that's three wins on the bounce for Halifax now. Thoughts on that one?
Yeah, we're picking up some momentum, aren't we?
He's saying we now. How does it feel to lose team? He's saying we're Halifax.
Yeah, I think Halifax are going to do them just on the fact they've picked up a couple of wins. They've got it right now.
It's a way of Featherstone, and remember, you got to play on that slope.
Don't matter to an Halifax lad, we're mentally strong.
I love it. Leon, what are your thoughts on that?
Like I say, Robbie, I don't watch too much of the championship, so what I'm going to go is off last week's form. If Halifax can turn Bradford over, we're a full-time outfit, then I'm going to go Halifax on this one.
Yeah, it's going to be a tricky one. It's whatever team turns up with the right frame of mind. And I think what you mentioned also earlier, the fact that there's two games and the hangover comes this week, next week, and the week after that. All right, in the Super League, we've got some real, real crackers also. Wigan at home to Warrington Wolves.
These are the two form teams of the competition, Robbie. I think if anybody's been serious about winning the league, then we may get an indicator from this game on Friday, because I think these two are the form teams of the competition. Mm-hmm. I think they're the two of the toughest teams to beat, especially Warrington have been red hot this year. So this is going to be a great crack game.
I think so. So, Robbo, where do your loyalties lie?
I don't know about loyalties. I'm trying to get a testimony game against Wigan, so Wigan.
Come on, Wigan!
I think Wigan at home are pretty formidable. I know Warrington have been playing extremely well this year, but I just fancy Wigan with it being at Wigan.
So, I mean, which other players to look out for in this game? Who can be the difference?
I watched the game that we played Warrington this weekend, and Sandow were just on another level.
All right.
On another level, completely, compared to all the other players.
And who's going to have to stand up for Wigan if they're going to shut down Sandow?
I've said all along, when Sam Tomlin's going through his heyday, we're playing brilliant for Wigan. Sean O'Loughlin's the heart of that Wigan side. When he plays well and he directs traffic and with his rocky, we call them Rockies, but with his sort of short ball man out the back, I think the way he defends as well, I think he defends from up front. So I think Lockers has got to have a big game for Wigan.
All right, two teams that are looking to recapture their form. Cass taking at home to the Giants.
I'm going to go for Cass on this one. So, yeah, I think Cass.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not sure. Cass are pretty tough at home, but I'll just go on his field.
On form, you got to back Cass. Catalan's at home to Widnes. Widnes flying. Catalan's at home. Two quick answers, guys. Are running Widnes low
have
on
lost.
Time.
Widnes have lost the last two, so I'm going Catalan.
I'm going Catalan as well.
Catalan with that absolutely world-class team that they do have. All right, boy, that's it for tonight. Thank you for being here with us.
No dramas.
Nice job.
My thanks to wherever you are listening, wherever you are tonight. And remember, make sure you enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul, and thank you for listening.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.